Our text for this morning's meditation is from the Gospel of Matthew, from our Gospel reading, these words, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." That's Matthew 4, verse 1. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, all who are led by the Spirit of God, we read in Romans 8, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And we are sons of God. We are daughters of God. For we are indeed led by the Spirit of God throughout our lives, throughout this world. And we know, in fact, that we abide in God and God abides in us because He has sent His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, into our hearts, as we read in 1 John chapter 4. Being led then by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit which dwells in our hearts throughout our lives, throughout this world, we too, like our Savior Jesus in our gospel reading, we encounter temptations. Temptations of the devil. Temptations which would have us, firstly, despair in our poverty. Temptations which would have us, two, look for some sort of special revelation of God to us. And temptations which would have us, three, be pulled away from God by our power, by our wealth, by the glory of this world. Yes. The temptations of Christ in the wilderness can be understood in just this way. The first temptation of Christ by the devil. Christ didn't have enough to live. Christ didn't have enough food. Christ didn't have enough of the basic staples which to exist. So instead of trusting His Heavenly Father to provide for Him, Christ is tempted by devil to act against the will of God to provide what Christ needed for Himself. That's the temptation. And we are tempted to do the same thing, aren't we? When the money is running short, when there are too many days at the end of the month, our first reaction can be to abandon our trust in our Heavenly Father to provide for us as He has promised and do things that we should not do and thus work against the will of God. The first, of course, is to fill our schedule with so much work that we have no time to hear the Word of God or receive the sacraments. God's heavenly means, we could say. God did, so our reasoning, after all, give us our bodies and our abilities and our opportunities. So how can we not take them and use them to gather for ourselves the earthly means we need, but ignore the first three commandments in the process? There are, of course, other ways to make money, ways that border on illegality. The point is that a perceived lack of care and provision by our Father in heaven can tempt us as well to what? To turn stones into bread. That is, to provide for ourselves by abandoning the will of God. But what if we do in fact have everything that we need? What if all our bills are paid? What if our life is humming right along from one day to the next with not much of a hitch or a stumble or a break? What then? Obviously, God has provided for us all that we need to support this body and life, and He continues to do so. In fact, God has become so good at providing for us that it can seem like God is no longer in play in our lives. That He no longer is watching over us, that God no longer has any interest in us. And so we start in our boredom to look for a way for God to prove to us, to prove to us that he still is working in our lives, even though it is so obvious that he is. It is here, then, that we are tempted to tempt God, to tempt God, to demand from him some sort of sign that he's watching over us in an extra special way so that we can be assured that we're not just children of God, but we are God's favorite children. So the temptation of Christ to throw himself off the temple. Luther noted that there was obviously a stairway or some safe and normal means for Christ to come down from the top of the temple in Jerusalem. So throwing himself down would be nothing but a tempting of God at that point. Perhaps this is the state of so many of around us today. So many who perhaps grew up in a Christian household. So many who are baptized into Christ. So many who are raised in the church, but now having so much, a successful career, a spouse, children, and having received the blessing of God in abundance, what they require of God is some sort of special sign that he remains with them. You see, the normal signs of God's blessing, they're not enough. I remember being told the second week of my service in this congregation over 20 years ago, just the second week I was here, that I had erred, I had made a mistake in not giving family special treatment, a special family, a warm fuzzy when we met. Remember warm fuzzies? Yeah. Remember when everyone was giving each other bits of yarn tied up, symbolizing some sort of special relationship that one person had with the other, some expression of approval? I missed the memo my first week here. And having not given that family such a warm fuzzy, it's not mine, but simply a handshake, smile, an introduction as the new pastor. That was it. They wanted apparently something special, something unique, something extra from God via a warm fuzzy through me. Now think about it. It's only because we've been provided with so much to support our body and life, even the Word of God proclaimed to us every week, the Word of God taught to us every week, the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper administered to us as Christ has commanded. It's only in such an overabundance of blessing from God that we in our spiritual boredom would tempt God by demanding from him some sort of spiritual warm fuzzy. So what if Jesus had indeed threw himself off the temple and was caught by a group of angels? Would Jesus then in Sally Field-type fashion looked up into heaven and cried out, "Oh, Father in heaven, you like me. You really, really like me." Let's stop looking for warm fuzzies from God and simply confess that our entire life in which we have been granted His Spirit in our hearts that works faith there, that creates the new man there, that causes fruit to abound there. Let's stop looking for warm fuzzies from God and simply confess that our entire life in Jesus Christ every day is a warm fuzzy from God. Now there is something I never thought I'd ever hear myself say. Now the third temptation with which Christ was tempted and with which we too are tempted is overwhelming power, which comes from wealth. And we can chuckle at that, thinking like Tevye, musical fiddler on the roof, that we certainly would like opportunity to be tempted in such a way. You remember the song he sang as he contemplated the fact that he had so many daughters and no money. If I were a rich man. If I were a rich man. The temptation of power, the ability to do anything we want to do, it's very real. And how many ultimately have fallen away from Christ when they actually have achieved the success which God has granted to them? How many people, when they become independently wealthy, stray from Jesus, abandon the Father, stop listening to the Holy Spirit, for their financial position has given them such freedom that they can do anything they want to do whenever it is they want to do it. I remember the very first time I saw the bumper sticker, I'm spending my child's inheritance. It was 1983. I was driving to school in our 76 Ford Granada, manual, three on the tree, stopped at a stoplight, and there it was on the bumper of the car right in front of me. I am spending my child's inheritance. And I remember laughing, but then thinking about it. What was that sticker saying? I'm going to do whatever I want with the wealth that I've accumulated? And now thinking back some 40 years later, I think that is what has happened for so many. It's not just those who are struggling to make ends meet who disappear from church, but also often those whose ends have met long ago. So hear the overwhelming proclamation of the first week of Lent, and that is that the temptations that Christ our Lord faced in the wilderness are the temptations that we ourselves, being led by the Spirit of Christ, still face throughout our lives. And that being so, we cannot use the excuse that our temptations are unique to us, to our time, to our place, to this era, this epoch of history, this generation, this culture. No, the temptations with which we are faced are the same as that which Christ our Savior faced and faced successfully. Therefore, we would pray that by His Spirit He would strengthen us to be able to do the same and so remain in Him throughout our lives. So our wonderful text from Hebrews, the epistle reading, we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now that's what we need, right? Grace to help in time of need. For when contemplating our sin, our shortcomings, our guilt and shame, we certainly have received grace upon grace. Jesus offering Himself in our place in the cross as an all-availing sacrifice for our sin. The result? The forgiveness of our sin. Forgiveness for the times we have, in fact, fallen to the temptations of the devil. And along with that forgiveness, then, peace in our hearts, consciences that are clear, hope and joy and the ability to love, even when times are tough, even when it seems that there is nothing to be done, even when it seems like there is no hope. So living in Christ, being led by the Spirit of God, what then do we need but grace to help when we're tempted? Tempted to take shortcuts, and the money's short. Tempted to tempt our Father in heaven to somehow prove His love for us with a warm fuzzy or two. Tempted to bask in the wealth and opportunity and luxury that success in this world brings to abandon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In all of these situations, all of them, we need the grace of God to help us. And that help does come to us in the way in which God Himself has deigned that it should. But not through earthly means, through heavenly means. Through heavenly means, through His means of grace. Through His Word, His Holy Heavenly Word, by which He comforts and leads and guides us, doing so every day as our minds and hearts and souls are led by the Spirit of God, as He works in us through the Holy Word of God. And of course, we are assured through the simple elements of bread and wine, His holy heavenly meal, through which our Savior comes to us with His body and blood, that He is in fact with us, that what He has accomplished in His suffering and death and resurrection, He's done for us. And that it is in His ascension, He continues to be with us, watching over us and guarding us and guiding us. Yes, such incredible comfort comes to us through such ordinary means, which are, in fact, not simply earthly means, but heavenly means. Being led by the Spirit of God, we would live within and only within such divine heavenly means. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.